Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Welcome to the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520. Back by popular demand, we have with us today Ambassador Eric M. Javits, highly regarded for his leadership in international affairs. A little background information about Ambassador Eric Javits. In 2001, Ambassador Javits was nominated by President George W. Bush as ambassador and permanent U.S. representative to the Conference on Disarmament in Geneva. In 2003, Ambassador Javits was confirmed as ambassador and permanent representative to the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons in The Hague. A tremendous world leader, expert on international affairs, and also about energy matters. So let's talk first about the nuclear arms situation. Donald Trump, at the time of this taping, as president-elect, said that maybe a nuclear arms race is a good idea between Russia and the U.S., sort of echoing the message of President Reagan of peace through strength. How do you feel about an arms race, once again, nuclear arms, internationally, Ambassador Javits?
Well, I don't think it's a race with Russia. I think it's a case of repositioning the United States as a country that has the capability of not only defending itself, but deterring any other country in the world from trying to use nuclear weapons. We have allowed our nuclear laboratories and our nuclear preparations to deteriorate for quite a period of time. And I'm not so sure that we have what is currently regarded abroad as a credible deterrent because of the neglect that has been permitted. I think the president-elect's desire to strengthen the nuclear deterrent is admirable. I don't think it's a question of an arms race with Russia or anybody else. I think it's a question of trying to keep the nuclear non-proliferation idea alive and well. Because if we allow our arms in the nuclear area to deteriorate, other countries are going to feel they need to have nuclear arms to protect themselves because the American deterrent isn't sufficient and the American umbrella isn't all-embracing. I think the idea of competing with Russia is a mistake. I don't think we need to compete with any country. I think we just need to be strong enough so that other countries are not going to venture where they should not dare.
Now, you're very active with energy matters throughout the United States. It's a new big part of your life, and I know you don't want to mention specifics regarding what you're doing in business, but perhaps you could talk about the new opportunities with energy, with wind, solar, the storage of energy. Where do you see the future with our energy needs, Ambassador Eric Javits?
Well, for a long, long time, we have relied on hydrocarbons to provide energy to the world, starting with coal, then oil, petroleum, gasoline, natural gas, and we are looking at certain adverse consequences of relying in toto, completely, upon hydrocarbons. We have not settled science in the global climate and global warming or cooling disputes, but we certainly have concerns. And we know that by minimizing carbon, we're probably doing the right thing for mankind. Not only to cut carbon, which I don't think is the danger in and of itself, it's pollution that we have to cut. And we want to have clean air, we want to have clean water. And so the trend toward the green energy sources is increasingly of interest and increasing demand. We have the opportunity, I think, to really move away from hydrocarbons over the next couple of centuries. But it's going to require a new, completely new technology in storage of electricity. Right now, the battery industry is relying essentially on chemical means to store electricity in batteries. And lithium ion is the current state of the art. But the idea of increasing that dramatically in terms of its ability to store more safely and cheaper is not an optimistic scenario. So we need to find new technologies. The world has, I think, agreed that one of the greatest obstacles to progress in getting clean energy for industrial, commercial, and residential use is that we don't have sufficient storage technology to do that. That's inexpensive enough, that's safe enough, that's clean enough. And I think the world needs that breakthrough. And I also think there's so many disputes, geographic and political and so forth, about the sources of energy with the oil countries and the consumer countries that require it. We've seen war fought over it. We've seen a lot of other kinds of strife arise out of that. And I think that that can be lessened, and also there can be a convergence if mankind can find a really safe way to store electricity that's produced by solar, by wind, by other forms of clean provision.
Let's switch the topic and talk about the invasion by Russia into the Ukraine. Now we have a new presidency. It seems that President-elect Trump, as the date of this taping, has perhaps a better working relationship with President Putin. How do you see the situation? Should we have future negotiations and sanctions until we see a withdrawal of Russia from the Ukraine?
The invasion was one which I think was induced by weakness on the part of the United States and on the part of the Ukraine itself by having given up its nuclear weapons in exchange for a promise. And that just shows you how ideology and goodwill doesn't always pay off. The idea that you can give up nuclear weapons for a promise is a little bit too far for me to travel. I think you really need to have deterrent if you're going to discourage aggressive action. And Ukraine gave it up. We also adopted a posture that was permissive, that was weak, and actually encouraged Russia to probe. The Russians have always needed that access to the water. They've always felt that the eastern part of Ukraine was a territory that not only did they covet, but that they had a certain amount of entitlement to, because of the population was mostly Russian-speaking people and part of their former empire. If you don't discourage aggression with a credible deterrent, you're going to have aggression. Now, how do you put evils back into Pandora's box? I mean, we are now facing the fact that the Russians are there. They not only are there in force, but they've got force all around the area that further threatens the small enclave that they've limited themselves to, I think, almost voluntarily at this point. So I'm sure that Trump's relationship with Russia is going to be a very different relationship than Obama's. First of all, I think Putin and Trump are going to respect each other. I don't think Putin respected Obama. And respect and concern for mutual welfare is what you need. And particularly when you talk about mutual welfare, your own welfare. Russia will, I think, find an accord because the Trump policy is to negotiate from strength. And he's not going to deal with Russia from weakness. His initial indication that he's not going to lie down for China, that he's going to even question the long-time standing relationship of one China policy to Taiwan, puts him into a position in Russian eyes, if you looked at the U.S. from Russian standpoint, that it's a very welcome sign to Russia that we're ready to stand up to China, and I think encourage Russia to feel that they could have an ally in the U.S. if Russia tries to overpower them. So I think the balance of power concept is going to come back into vogue under Trump. I don't think he's going to be aggressive. I don't think he's going to be unreasonable, but I think he's certainly a terrific negotiator, and he knows you don't renegotiate from weakness, you only negotiate from strength.
For those just tuned in, our guest today is Ambassador Eric M. Javits. We're performing a remote taping in Palm Beach, Florida at his home, and we're learning a great deal about world affairs and energy matters. I'd like to thank those who've called regarding our recent guest, author Paulette Cooper, whose book is Was Elvis Jewish? Another program we've had which we received calls on was with Ambassador Earl Mack, who's a friend of Ambassador Javits, and financier Ben Gordon. Little note here, Western New Yorkers love their traditions, and the Ampol Legal has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the Ampol Legal. The Ampol Legal is available in many Tops and Wegmans stores. For home delivery, call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454 to have the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. A little bit more information about Ambassador Eric M. Javits. He graduated from the Choate School in 1948 and spent 1 year at Stanford University. He is a Phi Beta Kappa graduate from Columbia College and attended Columbia Law School. His uncle was United States Senator Jacob Javits, who I had the pleasure of befriending, as I have been a member of the executive committee and state committeeman for 3 decades in Buffalo, New York. And I remember when Ambassador Javits' uncle came for his last endorsement for re-election to the U.S. Senate, where he served 24 years in the U.S. Senate. Let's talk about beating ISIS. We've seen the brutality of ISIS. We've seen the beheadings of 27 Christians in Egypt. We've seen people tortured and killed in just a horrible, shameful manner that reminds one of the grotesque activities of Stalin and Hitler. How are we going to beat this evil of ISIS, Ambassador Eric M. Javits?
We're going to, I think, find a new aggressiveness, a new fearlessness. I don't think it takes invading other countries. I think it takes hunting people down, inspiring increased cooperation, and increased techniques of surveillance, dedicating more attention, more funds, more manpower to tracking people, to keeping accurate records, to exchanging information. And I think that the security forces, the intelligence forces of all the free countries are going to be stimulated and incentivized to work a lot closer together. You see a lot of instances now where people who are committing aggression as members of ISIS or doing jihad have records, have been under investigation, have been under scrutiny for some period of time, and then for some reason have either been overlooked or allowed to be released or not really preempted from taking their horrible activities. Where it's being done in the countries that where we can't control the situation, such as in Iraq or in the countries in the Middle East, Jordan or whatever, where we don't have control of the situation, there's not much that we can do there except to help incentivize those governments to increase the dedication of resources and manpower, and also firmer dealing with these suspects than they have today.
Let's talk about your goals for America. Recent polling has found that Americans are much more optimistic than in the last 5 years for the future of America. We now have a new president. You seem to like his foreign policy more than the previous president. What are your goals for America under the Trump administration, Ambassador Javits?
Well, I think it's going to be a new birth of freedom in America. I think the idea of reducing regulation means increased freedom. The idea of less action by executive order means increased democratic representation of the people's views, not the views of White House elite that help generate, or the unelected officials who are appointed in regulatory agencies determining for themselves how America should be run and how people should act and behave. And also the consequences that flow from that are enormously harsh and repressive, which means that our growth, our economy, our number of job opportunities is going to be curtailed sharply and has been curtailed sharply. So I think we have a new birth of freedom that we're facing in the coming 4 years, and I hope it's more than 4 years, particularly with the appointment of judges to the Supreme Court that will be of a more conservative stripe.
Very good. Now let's talk about appointments, and I'm referring to cabinet appointments. Prior to the taping, Ambassador Javits seemed to be quite pleased with the appointments by President-elect Donald Trump. How do you feel about his cabinet picks? Are they good ones?
Well, I think they're not only good ones. I think they're superstars. I mean, the fact that these are men of a tremendous accomplishment, men who basically achieved success through their own efforts and also with the help and support of their colleagues in all their respective areas of activity. These are very significant leaders of industry or people who have had enormous success in their careers. The fact that they're wealthy, I think, is totally irrelevant.
Well, isn't that a plus that they have shown that they can succeed and do well in life?
Of course,
it's the types of people you want in a post.
It's an enormous plus. It's also a minus in the sense that there's a lot of divestiture that has to be accomplished, which may take some time in vetting them and in accomplishing all the disentanglements that they need to take. For instance, when I was appointed, I had to resign from everything, absolutely everything, and disconnect myself from all activities, even cultural and philanthropic, that I had been involved with, and turn with total devotion to the fact I was going to serve the State Department as a permanent representative and ambassador. And it was not an easy thing to do, and it was also, for me, an enormous personal sacrifice, because it came at a time in my life, not when I was about to retire, it was at the most productive part of my life where I was going to make the most money if I hadn't turned to do public service. So some of these people, yes, they've got all that they need. They don't need to have any more. But just the technicalities and all the formalities of disentangling is going to cost them a lot of money and also subject them to an awful lot of scrutiny. And that takes a toll, I think, but it also reflects how much they want to serve, how much they want to help the country. And so I'm very grateful to each of them for their willingness to do the public service, and I think that since they've had such enormous success in the private sector, and some of them some experience in the public sector already, that we should all be very grateful and applaud these appointments.
For those who just tuned in, you're listening to ESPN AM 1520 radio as we blanket 17 states and half of Canada. This station has received letters as far away as Scandinavia and New Zealand. So if you have any thoughts or comments, please drop us a note to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. We always greet cards and letters from our Canadian and European listeners. Again, about Ambassador Eric M. Javits. He was nominated by President George W. Bush as Ambassador and Permanent U.S. Representative to the Conference on Disarmament in Geneva in 2003. Ambassador Javits was confirmed as Ambassador and Permanent Representative to the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons in The Hague. Our guest today, Ambassador Eric M. Javits. Let's talk about a controversial topic, and that was the abstention by the United States in the voting regarding Israel and the settlements. Many Jewish leaders see it as a slap in the face on the way out the door by President Obama and an insult to the people of Israel. How do you feel about this abstention at the end of Obama's term as president?
I don't think it has to be viewed as a personal matter with respect to Obama. I think it has to be viewed in the long historical perspective of what does this do for the prospects of peace in the Middle East. And from that standpoint, I think it is a very sad commentary that the United States has allowed this kind of a resolution to pass the Security Council with a U.S. abstention. We have always vetoed anything that would be this critical and damaging to Israel and to the prospects of a two-state solution. I think the idea now is to assess what will be the consequences of this mistake on the part of the United States. I think they're going to be very grave. I think that it's probably depriving Israel of all of its bargaining power in terms of a negotiation with the Palestinians. And if there is going to be a country called Palestine, it would have to be one which would emerge as a result of Palestine being willing to accept Israel as a Jewish state. Israel is a democracy. It has Arabs living within it as its citizens. It even has Arabs in its legislature and so forth. There are occupied territories, and it has been building settlements in those territories. But it has been building settlements there for two reasons. First, to populate a reasonable defense perimeter in these occupied territories, so that if and when a two-state solution emerges, those areas that it needs for reasonable perimeter of defense can be Israeli territory in exchange for other areas that it could give up, which it would not need for strategic purposes. And the settlements that are being built in the non-strategic perimeter would have to be surrendered and given to the Palestinian state. But now, with this resolution at the Security Council, there is no incentive on the part of the Palestinians to negotiate anything. It's all theirs, as far as the United Nations seems to feel. And the Palestinians will seize on that and say, it's ours, why should we negotiate to give up any of it? Or allow any settlements in a reasonable perimeter. And I also think they feel this is halfway to the road of statehood anyway, that they can, and many people fear that Obama, as a parting shot, is going to basically go further with Kerry's forthcoming speech is expected to likely go further than even the UN resolution, or certainly blessing it. So I'm upset that the administration pretended they had nothing to do with this. I think it's very clear that they did, that they orchestrated it, that they helped draft it. And it's quite amazing to me that they think this would have any beneficial effect on getting the two sides closer to peace. If anything, it's going to be retrogressive, because if I were sitting in Israel's shoes, I would say, how do I get my bargaining power back? The only way I can get it back is to annex the territories that I'm occupying and then offer to give them back in the event that we can have a negotiated peace between the two sides. And that would be a terrible mistake on Israel's part, but it might be their only choice. If eventually this debacle is seized upon as something entitling the Palestinians to statehood, to the entire occupied areas, etc.
We have a minute left on the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520. Do you look upon Netanyahu as a modern-day Winston Churchill, as a man of great courage and intelligence and crafting new alliances for the State of Israel?
Well, I think he's an amazing, bright, and capable leader. He's trying to lead a country that's very divided, that has all kinds of ardent factions vying with each other. Plus, he's leading a democracy which has a very questionable future. And especially in light of the fact the enemies that he has all over the world that are either anti-Semitic or basically siding with the Palestinians out of their own, whatever their geopolitical or financial or other reasons may be. So I don't know, I don't think he's a person who I see as a great hero and leader in the sense that some of the other Israeli presidents and leaders stand, but I think he's historic, I think he's tough, I think he's brilliant, and I think he's capable. And I think his motivations, as far as I can see, are to try to see safety and security for his country, for the people of Israel.
I'm sorry, we have to come to a close. Again, back by popular demand, Ambassador Eric M. Javits on the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520. Special thanks to Kevin Carr, Director of Production, 15 years. Thank you for enlightening us once again, Ambassador Eric Javits. Have a great week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.